Ah, my armies, you have done well. You have captured many grains of sand, and with it, much oil. And you have also worked your way into the hearts of gamers everywhere, looking so cute, looking like meeples, but inside your humps. Oh, you contain weapons, yet soon we shall unleash it all. You, Dark Camel, shall lead my forces onto their greatest pursuit ever. On to Camelot!
Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. To see the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Hi there. Welcome to Board Games with Scott. This is a regular video series where I take a game and explain it and briefly review it, and my goal is to help you understand how to play the game and let you make a better decision if it's a game you might want to go out and purchase. On this show, I'm talking about Isfahan. Isfahan was put out by Starry Games and designed by Sebastian Pauchon, and it's a game for 3 to 4 people, takes about 45 minutes or so. It's a game that uses lots of dice, but in a very interesting way. It's a tactical game about attempting to control groups of buildings and be smart in your placement and advancing yourself up an ability ladder at a different rate from other people, making the best use of your scarce resources and coming out with the most points. It's a fast game. It takes 21 turns around the table. So if you've got 3 players, each of you are going to go 7 times. 4 players, each of you are going to go 5 or 6 times, and the game's over. But it's got a lot of interesting decisions. It's a neat game with little cute wooden camels, but we'll get to that here when we open up the box. So here's the stuff you get in the game. First, you get a nice rulebook, and the rulebook, they've done a good job of giving you some examples as you go throughout, lots of pictures, help you figure out how to play this game. You get one reference sheet that you can pass around the table as people need to figure out what their cards do. You've got a board that represents the city of Isfahan. You've got a tower board over here, which you're going to be rolling these big old wooden chunky dice and placing them on that board. You've got a caravan board here, which will be used to mark as you go off to take your goods off of the caravan. You've got some cards, some gold chips, some LWC, little wooden cubes. And you've got these little boards which each player has. And these boards are going to be used to indicate the upgrades that you've gotten as the game goes on. And then you get these cool little wooden camels. The thing about the wooden camels is they tend to like to get in the formation. Here's what I mean. About halfway through a game, look around and you're going to see in front of everyone their camels are in various and sundry formations. It's very interesting. I don't know why they do that. Each player gets to start the game with their board for indicating what buildings they've built, a bunch of cubes in their color, and 2 gold. They don't start with any camels. So all the components in the game function quite well. The dice are big and chunky. You're going to want a dice lid or a big dice tower to use. It's kind of fun to pick up a handful of dice and throw them about. It's a lot of components that you pull out for a fairly quick game, but it's an interesting game nonetheless. So why don't we get right into how all this stuff works together in the flow of play. So I'll first talk about some of the basics of the game and then step back and go into some of the mechanics. The goal of the game is to get points. You're going to do that by putting your cubes on the board. The board is split up by this road into 4 quadrants. The game calls it the sack quadrant, the crate, the barrel, and the vase. But I have my own names. These are the official Board Games with Scott names for each one of these quadrants. This is Sacramento. This is the island of Crate. This is Barrel-in. Get it? Barrel-in? All right, if you don't like that, call it Cooperstown. And this is the Land of Vaz. So there we go. Don't forget, Sacramento, the Island of Crate, Barrel-in, and the Land of Vaz. You too can be wacky, just like Scott. In each district, there are sets of shops, known as souks. And what you're trying to do is occupy all of the spaces within one souk by the end of a week. So you're going to do that by getting to place these cubes as the game goes on. You can place the cubes and occupy all of a souk, and if you hold that at the end of the week, you'll get 4 points. Now, a week is made up of 7 days. So at the end of the 7th day, you're going to score if you have all of the shops in a souk. If you're missing one, you get no points at all. So it's an all-or-nothing thing on these. So if you're going to go for it, you really need to work to try and get every one of them. Otherwise, you've wasted your resources. The points are representative of the difficulty it is to get to place cubes in each one of these souks, and I'll talk about how that plays out later. But notice, for example, getting 1 cube in this space here is worth 4 points. three cubes there is worth 12. Well, down here, you place cubes in these four areas to get those same 4 points, but it's much easier to get cubes in this quadrant. The next way to score points in this game is through the caravan. Now, as the game goes on, you're going to begin putting your cubes in this caravan, starting from the bottom and working your way up. Whenever you place a cube on the caravan, you immediately score the number of points that's on the camel. Notice as you go up higher, there are fewer and fewer points, and that's because there's another bonus that you'll get. At the end of each of the weeks, you score the caravan. The way that works is you count the number of cubes you have in the caravan and multiply that times the multiplier on the highest row that you reached. So for example, green hit the times 3 row. So green would get 2 times 3, 6 points. Blue only hit the times 2 row. So blue would get 1, 2, 3, 4 times 2 for 8 points. What's important about this is the caravan does not get emptied out at the end of the week. So 3 times in the game, the caravan will score and you'll get to keep building up on that. One big exception. If the caravan fills completely at any point, you immediately score the whole caravan and then dump it all away. So it's something to watch out for. If you've got someone who's using a lot of caravan points, you may want to try and fill it up so they're not going to get that score for week 1, week 2, and week 3. Once the caravan is dumped, you can begin filling it up again. The next important mechanic I need to talk about is playing the tower. When each player starts their turn, they're going to take the dice and roll them all, and then they're going to put them in the tower. Now the way this works is you take the lowest number rolled, in this case I rolled a 2, and put it on the bottom row. You take the highest number rolled, in which case I rolled a 6, and you put all those at the top row. And then you start filling them up from the bottom to the top. So the 3 will go here, the 4 will go here, and the 5s will go here. Notice the only way you'll end up with dice on this Vaz roll in the land of Vaz is if you happen to roll all the numbers from 1 to 6. Otherwise that's going to be empty. So the first player in the turn rolls the dice, and then we'll get to pick a row to activate. And this is how you're going to get people out on the board, more gold and more camels. The way that works is if I will pick a row to activate. Let's say I activate this top row. There's 3 dice, so I get 3 gold. Then I clear it away. Then the next player gets to pick from what's left over. And they'll pick something, the next player picks, and the next player picks. After each player has had a chance to take something off the board, then you pass the first player marker and that person rolls the dice. And you do a turn over, and that's all there is in a turn. That's why this game moves pretty quickly. There's only 21 of these turns. So, let me talk a little bit more about the board. Again, you're going to get one of whatever for each die that's on that row. So if I clear off this row, I get 3 gold. This row gets you camels, 1 camel for every die that's on that row. In the middle here is how you get to place cubes on the board. For every die that's in the row, you place 1 cube in the appropriate region. So if I took these 2, that would let me put 2 in Berlin. If I took these 2, that would let me put 2 in the island of Crete. So again, that's how you're going to get your pieces on the board. In addition, there are these dice, these gold dice. The first player can choose to spend some of their gold to add these dice to the pool. The way that works is then, let's say I spent 3 gold, I would add those dice to the pool. Roll everything. I'll set it up. I'll put the low numbers there. I'll put the high numbers up here. And then work my way up. And now, first player, I can pick one of these rows. Now, my good choice is the top row here is going to get me 4 gold if I take it. Or this row here is going to get me 4 people in Sacramento. Because I spent money on those gold dice, after I am done, the gold dice go away. So again, the first player can choose to spend up to 3 to bring in these 3 extra dice, and then after the first player picks, let's say I pick to put 4 people here in Sacramento, I do that, the gold dice then go away before everyone else then gets to pick from the leavings. Again, each player then in turn will get to clear out one row and take the action associated with that row. If you don't want to put people out on the board, get camels or gold, there are 2 other things you can do as well. One is to move the supervisor, and one is to draw a card. If you draw a card, you pick a row, you take the dice off, and you draw one of these special cards. And I'll talk about them a little later. It doesn't matter how many dice you take off of that row, you only get one card. The other option is to move the supervisor. The supervisor will be used to send your cubes or your opponent's cubes out to the caravan. I'll talk more about that later. The way that works is you pick a row, and you take the dice off that row, and whatever the value is of the dice on that row, that's going to be how many spaces you move the supervisor. Now what's important to note is that let's say I cleared this row to move the supervisor, I would still only move him 1, because 1 is the number on the dice. Doesn't matter how many dice there are in the row, I'm just going to move him the value of a single one of those dice, but I clear out the whole row. If because of the rolling they were in big groups and it's your turn, there's no dice left on the board, then you still get to take one card as your action. Let's look back at the city board to discuss some of the implications of these actions. If you remember earlier, I talked about the importance of trying to fill up all the shops in one souk. Well, there are some rules to help you do that. The first rule is that if someone has already started on a set, if I had a blue cube here and I've started on this set, no one else may play on these buildings. And it's reserved for blue to try and fill up. So if I want to be a real jerk, I could put one on one of these buildings and never fill up these two, and then no one would get these points. Again, you have to fill up all three of the buildings by the end of the week in order to score points. And at the end of the week, all of the cubes are taken off the board. So you're really working hard towards a single week. Another important note about starting a new souk. Again, this is a rule to prevent someone from being a jerk. If I've already started one souk in this neighborhood, let's say I've started this one here, I cannot start this one as well. I must complete this one first, and only then may I put a cube in a different souk and start a new one. Again, if another player has already started a souk, I can't come into it. That's reserved for that player to finish off during their turns. Now let's talk about moving that supervisor. Remember, if you clear off a row of dice to move the supervisor, whatever the value is on one of those dice you cleared off is how far you get to move the supervisor. Notice how we have shadows and light spaces on this road, and those are spaces. So this is 1, 2, 3. He's going to move up and down on this path. Now what he does is wherever he ends his move, he sends the people in adjacent shops out to the caravan. So up to now, there's really been no way to interfere with each other, but this is how you can do that. Let's say I want to interfere with green here. I might choose to move him 3, 1, 2, 3, and then I would send this cube off to the caravan. And again, it would fill up the first available space. Green would get 2 points there, but would lose out on this souk unless he could get it refilled by the end of the week. So you may want to go to the caravan if you're trying to build up caravan points, but let's say you don't. Let's say you want to leave him there and go for those points. What you can do is you can bribe the overseer. You can give the overseer one of your camels, get rid of your camel, and then you get to send your brother, who looks remarkably like you, out onto the caravan in your place. So again, if you're sent out to the caravan by the overseer, you may choose to discard a camel and put another one of your cubes on the caravan instead. Then you still get to keep your possession in your souk. There are some spaces on his track which will affect 2 cubes. For example, here. If he lands on this space, that's going to affect 2 green cubes. Note that the artwork can be a little confusing as to which houses are adjacent to the spaces, because if you look at doors and windows, you may wonder, well, is there a door there? Is that really adjacent? And it actually is. These two buildings are considered adjacent to this space. These two buildings are considered adjacent to this space. Again, the supervisor just sends the 2 cubes that are adjacent to his space off to the caravan. The supervisor player gets to determine the order in which the cubes go. Now, normally, the number of spaces you'll move him is going to be equal to the value of the dice you took off that track, but you can change that. You can spend up to 3 gold to adjust that number by up to 3 spaces, up or down. So if I took it off the 3 track, I could spend another 3 gold and move him 6 spaces. This becomes really valuable as a way to get at the leader. To get at people that are doing well, you can move the overseer there and kick them out. But the problem is, if you kick them out too often, you're really gonna help them build up on the track. Then they'll get more points here than they would have gotten here. So you have to be careful to balance all of that. After you roll the dice and choose your action, then you get to build. When you build, you've got several choices. It's going to do a few things. One thing it's going to do is going to give you more abilities when you take an action. The other thing it's going to do is give you more victory points. For the first and second building, you get no points. For the third, fourth, and fifth building, you get 5 points. And for the sixth building, you get a bonus 10 points. Now, the way the buildings work is you're going to pay the cost at the bottom. So this building costs 2 camels. This building costs 4 camels and 4 gold. You do not have to build them in order. You can build any building that you'd like first. Sometimes it can be advantageous to invest early in some of these more powerful buildings to help you throughout the game. Once you get a building, you have it for the rest of the game. The bonus points are only scored once. So the way it'll work is you'll pay the cost and you'll put your block on the space, and that's going to let you have that building. So now let's run through what each of the buildings do. This building has a +1 camel, which means whenever you choose to take camels from the tower, you get an extra one. This one has +2 gold. Whenever you choose to take gold, you get 2 more gold. This one has a picture of the overseer moving left and right. And what this means is that whenever you move the overseer, you may choose to move him up to 3 spaces more or less than the number you're supposed to move him for free. You may also choose to spend more gold to move him up to another three spaces beyond that. And this shows a picture of the caravan with a card. Whenever you put a piece out on the caravan, you get to draw a card. This shows +2 with a filled-in souk. What that means is during scoring time, for every souk you have filled up, you're going to get an extra 2 points. And this has plus cube, which means you, whenever you put cubes on the board, you get to put an extra cube on the board as well. This is a very powerful one to have, but it costs you 4 camels and 4 gold to get. So as you spend the camels and gold, you'll put a block on that to indicate you've built the building, and then you'll just track if you got any bonus points for that building. So if you fill them all up, you're going to end up getting a bonus 15, 20, 25 points from this board alone. Plus, you'll have all those extra abilities. This board is actually where some of the clever mechanics of the game come in, because you're going to get to customize your powers and what you're going to try and do. And this board can help set your path throughout the game based upon what you're strong at. Now we'll talk through the cards a little bit. Again, the way the cards work is you get them by clearing off a row of dice and you just take a card. Or you have that special ability, that special building that gives you a card every time you get sent out to the caravan. So these cards are simple. Discard this card to get 3 gold. Discard this card to get 3 camels. This card lets you exchange camels for gold on a 1-for-1 basis. These cards make it easier to build. With this card, you can build a new building without spending any camels, so you just spend the gold cost. With this card, you just spend the camel cost and no gold to build a building. These cards allow you to put people out on the board. This one lets you put someone out onto the city board. Again, you have to follow the rules. You can only put it into a souk that's not finished that you've started, or an empty souk, following all the normal placement rules. This lets you move a cube onto the caravan. And these cards let you get points. You can exchange gold for points up to 10. You can exchange camels for 2 points up to 4 camels for a total of 8 points. Finally, notice the back of the cards have gold, camels, and cubes. And what this means is the other thing you can do with a card is that when you take dice off the tower board, you may exchange one card in and discard it to add one more die to the number of dice you're pulling off. So if I turned in a card and I pulled off these 3, that would let me then put 4 cubes in Sacramento. If I pull it off here and added a card, I would get an extra camel, so I'd get 2 camels. I can't use this, though, if the dice have already been taken off a row or no dice were placed on that row. I can't use this card and say, well, I'm going to put 1 cube in Barrel Inn. That's not legal. So after the 7th turn has been taken, it's the end of the week, and then you score. You score all of the souks. You score the caravan. You clear off all the cubes from the city board. You leave the cubes on the caravan board, and you put the overseer back in the middle of the board. One important note, in a 4-player game, in the final turn of the game, so when it's 3 and 7, the turn order is changed, and you do the final turn in order from the person with the lowest score up to the person with the highest score. That can make a big difference on your strategy. After the final turn has been taken, you score all the souks on the board, you score the caravan, and see who's got the most points. And that's all there is to a game of Ispahan. So what do I think about this game? I think it's a clever game. It's got a lot of gameplay in a short period of time. Once you get to know it, it takes about 30 minutes to play, but it's got a lot of interesting decisions to make. It's a good opener or closer to a longer game session, and I find that each time I play, I take a different path through the game, because you can customize your strengths, play off those strengths, you can try to focus on certain areas of the board, you can try and focus on the caravan. There's different things you can do to win points in the game, and it's really a neat game. They've done a good job of cramming a lot of gameplay into 30 minutes, and that's something that's important to me, is finding games that give me a good amount of play and a lot of fun in a certain period of time. Games that go on too long beyond their fun level are not very interesting to me. For that, I'm going to give it a nice solid A. This is a neat game. I'll recommend it to anyone interested in a nice 30-minute game. The one qualm I have about it is the price for the time. You know, it's a pretty expensive game for how long the game takes. But that said, I've gotten a lot of replayability out of this game, so I will recommend the game. Thank you much, and if you want to see more videos like this, head over to BoardGamesWithScott.com. Until another episode, take care.
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. Scott can be reached at scott@scottnicholson.com.
Until another episode, take care. How was that, Dark Camel? Did I do a good job? No, don't spit! No, not the spit!